10:20. We're going to be in Zechariah chapter 8 today. Everybody see that? My handwriting, my penmanship, as you guys are well aware, is poor. So please don't judge. Well, you can if you want. It won't bother me. Okay, Zechariah chapter 8. So the setting is we are still in Babylonian captivity. Okay? Now, 2 Kings, Lynn, if you'll get to 2 Kings chapter 23, and Glenn, if you'll get to 2 Kings chapter 24. All right, Lynn, 2 Kings chapter 23, and the theme of Zechariah 8 here is the Lord is going to promise blessings to Israel. Again, the setting is that we are still in Babylonian captivity. Now, why Babylonian captivity? How did they end up there? Do you remember what they asked for from the Lord? They asked for a king, right? Hey, these other people have kings. Why can't we have a king? Well, you don't need a king. Well, we really think we do need a king. So, the Lord says, okay, here we go. You're going to get a king. So, Lynn, you're going to read, if you don't mind, 2 Kings 23, 31 and 32. Let's hear how that king ended up. All right, and then move to 36 and 37 of that same chapter, 2 Kings chapter 23.
Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 11 years. His mother was Zebda, the daughter of
somebody
from Reuben. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestors.
Okay, Glenn, you're in 2 Kings chapter 24. If you'll read verses 8 and 9 about the next king.
Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king and reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. His mother's name was Jerusalem, the daughter of Nathan of Jerusalem. He believed on the side of the Lord and went to all his father's
death. All right. And then let's read about the last one, Glenn. If you're still in 24 there, 18 and 19. 2 Kings 24, 18 and 19.
Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jubal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He also did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiachin had done.
So these last four kings, a pretty common theme here, right? They did evil in the sight of the Lord. So have we ever asked God, and thinking about the Israelites saying, hey, we need a king like these other nations. Have we ever asked God for something that we thought that we needed? And how did it work out? I'm sure we all have some type of story about that. Well, the Lord had had enough. Again, we're setting up the stage. We're going to be in Zechariah 8. Where the Lord's going to bless Israel. But we're setting up the stage to see how they ended up in this Babylonian captivity. So, Glenn, if you're still in 2 Kings 24, would you mind reading verse 20? 2 Kings 24, 20.
For because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem and Judah, he finally cast them out from his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon.
The anger of the Lord, right? Now, 2 Kings 25 goes into great detail about the fall, if you will, of Israel in Babylon. You got your sword, Bill? Okay, would you care to read 2 Kings 25, 5 through 7? 2 Kings 25, 5 through 7. And it gives us just a little bit of brief insight of that captivity and how it went down.
Jericho, and all his armor.
army was scattered from him. Then they captured the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah, and they passed sentence on him. They slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him in chains, and took him to Babylon.
So these takeovers, you know, back in the Old Testament, they weren't pleasant. You know, Zedekiah was the last one that Glenn had read about that Bill just told us. So they killed all of his boys in front of him and then plucked his eyes out. So when the smoke clears and the dust settles, you know, their city is burnt to the ground. They're scattered. Many of them land under this Babylonian captivity. And they're left, no doubt, asking, where is God? Now we move forward to Zechariah. Some 70 years has passed. And how many do you think have forgotten maybe about the Lord? And some of them had to be thinking like their ancestors did back in Egypt. Here we go again, right? And maybe we have personally experienced this with God, perhaps with the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, a failed relationship. And we ask God, why again, Lord? And maybe the challenge for those of us, especially for me, Mr. Impatient, is to wait for the silver lining. How do we do that? You know, it's tough. Because initially you got to think about their ancestors. They were waiting for 400 years in Egypt. Now these guys have been in Babylon for 70 years. I can't wait 10 minutes in a drive-through line, you know? Microwaves and drive-throughs have totally ruined our patience level, and I tell that with customers all the time. You mean it's going to be 2 hours before you can plug my tire? Well, yes, sir. And then they don't care for my microwave and drive-through impatient story, you know, in that scenario, but I still give it to them. But the silver lining is about to happen for the Israelites. So, Larry, would you care to jump to Zechariah chapter 8? And when you're there, if you don't care to read the first four verses, which I've tagged as restoration, when you're there, Larry, fire away.
The word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Zion. I am burning with jealousy for her. This is what the Lord says. I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each of them with cane in hand because of their age.
I will return to Zion. So, first of all, we see this promise of restoration, a renewed relationship. John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17, if you recall, gives us a little bit of insight into Peter's renewed relationship with Jesus, right? When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord. Again, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, do you truly love me? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, do you love me? Peter was hurt. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. So we see that restored relationship with Jesus and Peter after his denial in much the same fashion, flashing back to the Israelites here when they're still in Babylon. The Lord says, I'm ready to renew that relationship. How good does it feel to renew a relationship? Whether that relationship had been cut off because of geography, whether that relationship had been cut off because of a difference of opinion, whether that relationship was cut off by family, friends, co-workers. You know, it's good to feel that renewed relationship. And there, Larry read about safety. You know, there's going to be kids that are playing in the streets again. Sandy's Uncle Lloyd, who passed away last, he was the last of her mother's eight siblings, was in the Korean War. And so when Uncle Lloyd went to Korea, he was 18 years old, like a lot of those guys were back there. His platoon, I think all but he and another fella were killed one day. He can remember having to cross a river, holding his gun up, bullets flying by his head, laying down and playing dead as the Korean soldiers came through and took his watch and took everything off of everybody that they thought were dead. He played dead. He came back from the war and he stuttered. He went to the war, he never stuttered. He came back and he stuttered for the rest of his life. Pretty interesting. Never really talked about it. So when he passed away, we were over at the house and kind of going through some things, and we found some old black and white photos that he had brought back from Korea, and thinking about safety and kids playing in the streets. And there's pictures of buildings just demolished by bombs. There's pictures of tanks in the streets. There were pictures, almost like the Holocaust pictures that you saw, of bodies just stacked up and laid on the side in the street. Just wild stuff. I've never experienced anything like that. We've never experienced anything like that. But Zechariah tells them that there's going to be kids that are able to play in the streets again. There's going to be joy. There's going to be old folks sitting in the street. And you can't help but wonder if these old folks who are now going to be able to sit in the streets were the kids some 70 years ago when Babylon came ripping through. Right? I can't help but see Mark Hayes and Larry and Brandon probably sitting in the street trading cards or something. You know? But yeah, there's going to be joy. And then the Lord says that I will dwell in Jerusalem. Remember the first place that he dwelled with them? What did he ask them to build when they had just came out of Egypt? He said, build a tabernacle, which means dwelling. And that's where I'm going to dwell with you guys. So the Lord says, hey, I'm going to dwell with you guys again. They haven't felt his presence for quite some time. And you know, we see other examples of restoration. 2 Samuel, am I going in and out? Yeah, probably hit something. Can y'all hear me? Okay, I'll just talk louder. Out. Do what? Check one. It's this Garth Brooks. Okay. So, other examples of restoration. 2 Samuel chapter 12, we see David after losing the son, remember, that was born to Bathsheba. We see the birth of Solomon. Exodus chapter 2, we see the beginning of God getting them out of Egypt and restoring them. So, these first four verses, we see restoration. Larry, are you still in Zechariah? So, would you care to hit, let's see, I think I missed putting one up there, didn't I? Yep. Hey, I forgot to put number two. I outnumbered them. Verses 6 through 8. 6 through 8, Larry. Yep.
This is what the Lord Almighty says. It may seem marvelous to the remnant of this people at that time, but will it seem marvelous to me? Declares the Lord Almighty. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will save my people from the countries of the east and the west. I will bring them back to live in Jerusalem. They will be my people. I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God.
All right, so we see a promise here to save his people, to live in Jerusalem. I will be faithful and righteous, he says. Bottom line, no more captivity. You know, captivity in some form is spread all throughout Scripture. We see Joseph sold as a slave, rises to power, says no thank you to Pharaoh's wife, goes down to jail, comes back up, rises to power. So we see captivity there. We see Paul in chains a time or two, right? Captivity being this theme throughout Scripture. Are we held captive today? Figuratively speaking, perhaps. You know, what straps us down? Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's alcohol. What straps us down today? What holds us captive? You know, Solomon said that there's nothing new under the sun. Even though we keep trying, we might think there is. And can we make the difficult decisions to do the right thing, which might lead to captivity, like Joseph did? I don't know if I could. And like the missions minute or the Ukraine thing we saw this morning. Boy, Jeff, you were right, brother. That was pretty serious, you know? Here we sit in this nice, comfortable room, this nice pew. I went by Roots and got my coffee, and this fellow's in a dirty, nasty basement still holding worship service. Would I do that? I don't know. I'd like to think I would. Oh, yeah. But would I? Man. And thanking God for that? I don't know. That's tough. The kings did evil is our repetitious theme in 2 Kings in the sight of the Lord. Captivity came as a result of that evil. But somehow Joseph, somehow Paul, somehow the others in Scripture were able to do the right thing, even though captivity found them. Jonathan, would you care to get to Zechariah chapter 8? And this is actually number 3, so I got a little ahead of myself. Might be the Roots Cafe coffee. Jonathan, when you're there, Zechariah 8, if you'll read, let's do 9 through 13 when you're there.
Right, got it.
Okay. Okay, so we see a blessing. Muriel, if you will be turning, please, to Matthew chapter 27 and just kind of rest there. Take me a second to get there. Matthew 27. So, he says that you have been a curse, but now you're a blessing. You know, their name carried with it, in this particular time, a negative connotation among all the other nations, right? They were a curse. But now, you're going to be a blessing. So what pops in your mind as you hear these names? Rahab. I go to harlot. Right, immediately. Even though we needed her, I go to harlot. Noah. Man, stud. Right? Judas. Mm-hmm. Eve. Mm. The women probably. Joshua. Achan. Man, Jeff, don't let us be Achan. I mean, well, your given reflections this morning were spot on, you know? Don't let us be Achan. Man, don't let us be Achan. Barabbas. Negative connotation or positive connotation when you hear those names? You know? Blessing or curse? Right? Well, right now, their name, it's mud. It's a curse among all the other nations. Now, what pops into people's minds when they hear my name or your name? And should that matter? Have you ever felt like a curse? You know, if you have, it can make us do some crazy things that Muriel is going to read about. First five verses, Muriel, Matthew 27, 1 through 5.
Early in the morning, all the chief priests and elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate the governor. When Judas, who betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. And then he went away and hanged himself.
So Judas came to the realization that he was a curse and was seized with remorse and couldn't handle it. Had to end it, right? He could not carry that load. It was just way too much. And that's the way it is for some folks, right? They can't carry it. But God tells them now, guys, you're a blessing. Isn't that great? Okay, Jonathan, if you don't care to go again, Zechariah 8, and then if you'll do 14 to 17. Zechariah 8, 14 to 17. Yes, sir.
"This is what the Lord Almighty says. Just as I have determined to bring disaster on you and show no pity when your ancestors angered me, says the Lord Almighty, so now I have determined to do good again to Jerusalem and Judah. Do not be afraid. These are the things you are to do. Speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgment in your courts. Do not plot evil against each other. Do not love to swear falsely. I hate all of this."
So we see expectations, right? And these expectations, they're not new. They're little tidbits and remnants of the Ten Commandments that their ancestors received, that I'm sure has been passed down to them. So he tells them to tell the truth. How difficult can that be? Well, it can be challenging at times. If you go to Acts chapter 5, the first 11 verses there, we see the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Woo, yeah, we gave everything. Did you? Nope. What was their outcome? Immediate death. I can remember, Porter, I think we were in fifth grade. We did that little skit, and I was one of the guys that came in to carry out one of them after they had fell dead. Isn't it weird the things you remember? But yeah, he says, tell the truth. Oh, my goodness. Then he says, be fair to each other. John chapter 8, the first 11 verses, we see that they have dragged out this lady that's been caught in adultery. And they're ready to stone her. And bottom line is, Jesus says, well, whoever's not guilty of anything, go ahead and toss that first stone. He's telling them to be fair. And slowly, one by one, I think it was from the oldest maybe to the youngest, if I recall correctly, I don't think they sauntered off. Yeah, they walked off. Be fair, he tells them. Number three, he says, live at peace. So my scripture for number three is for all those women out there who perhaps have a mother-in-law. Oh my goodness, Larry, I didn't know Grace was going to be in here. no, number three, live at peace. So I picked out Ruth. And they're heading back. Husbands died. Sons have died. She says, you girls go back home to your land. Just leave. I think Orpah finally checks out, says, okay, I'm going to go back. She says, nope. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. And then when they get to town, I guess the whole town is stirred, I think it said, because they're rolling back in. And they got to be wondering what happened, you know? And then they've got to be seeing her, who may not look like them or talk like them. Well, who'd she bring back with her, you know? The Lord tells these people to live at peace. I think she made the decision to live at peace. I'm going back with you. Then he says, don't plot to harm others. And the easy one to pluck there is David and Uriah. Put them on the front line. Make it look like an accident. Man, that's pretty strong, you know. I've thought about flattening somebody's tire before, but I don't know that I would go to the length that David did.
Well, our tires are running a little low.
Thank you, Joey. And then he finally says, don't swear something is true when you know it's not. And boy, you got to go to that campfire and Peter. That gal comes up and says, hey, didn't I see you with them? Nope. Yeah. Don't swear that something is true when it's not. All right, and then we end in 18 to 23. Again, the word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The fast of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months will become joyful and glad occasions and happy festivals for Judah. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will yet come, and the inhabitants of one city will go to another and say, let us go at once to entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going. And many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty and to entreat Him. After all this 70 years of being a curse, now all these people are going to come to you. Now, 23, the clincher. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 men from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you because we have heard that God is with you. Isn't that wild? You have suffered for 70 years, torn away from your homes. And now somebody is going to want to take hold of your coat and follow you because they know God's with you. So we see illumination is what I put. They'll want what we have because they see God through us. And then we got to ask ourselves, you know, do folks want to take hold of me in order to share what I have in Christ? And you got to think about that. Whew! The drive into work, even though it's only 11 minutes every morning, can be challenging. Even though it's 6 a.m., it can be challenging with people wanting to pass you and do this and not. Do people want to follow my Tacoma by the time I finally get to work? I don't know. Do they grab our robe because they have heard that God is with us? Man, I would like to say yes, but this week has been kind of a mental challenge for me at work. You know, we all work or have worked, for those who possibly might be retired, in what I call a fractured environment. And to say that we don't or have never worked in a fractured environment, we are in, not the river in Egypt, we're in denial, right? And part of our particular fractured system at my job is apathy. Man, I can't stand it. It just crawls all over me. The sense of apathy that some coworkers have. I just want to throat punch them, which goes back to probably my previous statement about do they want to grab my coat? Not in that situation. So, too many folks, I tell you, just don't care. And it can impact other people. You know, well, if they don't, blah, 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 then I'm not going to blah, blah, blah. And so this week was one of those weeks for me. I told a coworker that I am trying to not let their sense of apathy get into my bloodstream. Does that make sense? When all of a sudden you look up and you're doing the exact same thing that they are because of that. It was just one of those weeks. So I didn't, and I was so proud of myself, but I caught myself poor-mouthing them and complaining, which I don't know that I was any better off than they were at the end of the day, right? Apathetic or complaining. So I ran across, you know how things hit you. You know, the Lord says, all right, Jimmy, here it is. Ran across this story Thursday morning or Friday morning. A wise man once faced a group of people who were complaining about the same issues over and over again. One day, instead of listening to the complaints, he told them a joke, and everybody cracked up laughing. Then the man repeated the joke, and just a few people smiled. And finally, the man repeated the joke a third time, and nobody reacted. And the man smiled and said, "You won't laugh at the same joke more than once. So what are you getting from continuing to complain about the same problem?" Whew. You're not going to get anywhere if you keep complaining about the same problem but do nothing to fix it. Don't waste your time complaining, expecting other people, these apathetic slappers, to continue to react to your complaints. Instead, take action to make a change. Does anybody want to grab hold of my jacket when I'm complaining? I don't think so. Okay, any questions, comments? All right. If not, Brandon, do you want to plug now?
Yes, real quick.
Brandon's got a plug. Don't clap.
There's probably a couple of things in there you don't want anybody to hear, but for the most part, you did pretty good. I mean, for the most part.
Yeah, and if you want to hear a past class or something you missed, you go to the Mass Church of Christ website and you go to the Live class, you can click on a variety of things. I mean, Bill's is already on there from last week. I mean, it's
really, there's a lot of stuff. So. Feel free to go there and get that. And if you need a link, which was one thing we said last week, but that's an updated version of mine. Is Todd Hibbs can also email you a link if you need it, but the website's probably going to be just as easy just as easy to get it. He was concerned last week. Todd was concerned last week as to how they were going to get all that, kind of where he was going to put it and how to make it fairly easy to get to. So, okay, let's see if I can read some of these. Valley View Camp fundraising event, April 30th. That's going to be a dinner, silent auction. It's going to be a fun night. It really is going to be a fun night. Doors open at 5:30, so make plans to attend that. It will be fun. We'll all get together and just cut up and have a good time. If you have any questions, you can email valleyviewcampoffice@gmail.com. Fairly easy. valleyviewcampoffice@gmail.com. I don't have any birthdays for us this week, so... let's see. Now, for prayer requests, I've got a couple of things, and then we'll get to some new stuff. Larry's sister, you got an update?
She's going to be starting radiation and chemotherapy pretty soon.
Okay. Okay. And, of course, the neighbor's family. There's a lot of families that have lost loved ones, but I've still got them on here. Ukraine. And then I've got on here, and I don't remember who said it. I've got Mackie and JL Shelton.
My parents. My dad is better. He had an allergic reaction to antibiotics. So he got a shot and got some other stuff. So he's fine. Mom is still trying to find a doctor that will do this procedure that has been recommended. And she feels like she did something else, like some other...
And as all of us age, things don't bounce back like they used to, and especially when you two of you are going through it at the same time, it does become a struggle. And does anybody else have anything? Anybody else have a prayer request or something good that we can be thankful for? I'm married to my wife, and I'm thankful for that every day. Jimmy, make sure you pray for that. Yes, yes, yes. I was in trouble earlier, so I figured, how's a good way for me to come out of that? Actually, I wasn't in trouble. I just, anyway. I don't ever get in trouble. Never, never. Anybody else? Jimmy, would you lead us in a prayer? He asked if I've got notes for him. Yeah, I can. Can you translate that? It's written in
my stars.
It's written in Greek.
Okay, never mind. My penmanship is good.
Well, see, that's Larry's sister.
Now, I'm
writing this as people are throwing it out to me. So there's
I got
Larry's sister.
We got the neighbors.
Neighbors,
we got
family,
Ukraine.
Ukraine.
We got the Shelton.
See, you can see that. That's
past.
Yeah, and then there's
yeah.
See, you're good.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. Dear Lord, we have some folks we want to continue to lift up to you. Dear Lord, we continue to be mindful of Larry's sister. Dear Lord, in that situation, we pray that you be with her. Dear Lord, be with the family. Dear Lord, as they continue to try to encourage her, just be with them, dear Lord. We are mindful of Chris and Brian, still at the passing of Miss Sue and Mr. Charles, dear Lord. Just continue to be with them as they acclimate to a life without Sue. Dear Lord, we want to lift up Muriel's folks, dear Lord, as they're struggling. We pray that you be with them and be with the family as they try to help out in that particular situation as well. And dear Lord, we just ask this week somehow, dear Lord, that you help us be a blessing and not a curse. Dear Lord, we just ask that you give us the ability to rise above the temptation to be negative. And dear Lord, all we simply ask is that one person this week wants to grab hold of us because of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jimmy. Y'all have a great week.